Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. For this edition, we want to answer a question from one of our most astute listeners, and I hope you're out there listening even today as we broadcast this. Hopefully, you get to hear the answer to your own question. But the question was about John the Baptist, and the reason for the question is that Fox Nation, if you subscribe to Fox Nation, I don't know if you do or not, but it doesn't matter for the purposes of the podcast. But the point is, the question came from a listener who also subscribes to Fox Nation. And Fox Nation has a little series on various saints of old, if you will. And one of those saints is John the Baptist. And so there's about, I watched it, it's about, I think it was about 45 minutes or so. Of a kind of an account of a picture of how John the Baptist's life might have gone and how his interaction with Jesus might have gone. And so that's really where the question came from, is was the picture, the portrait of John the Baptist on Fox Nation accurate or not? What do we know about John the Baptist, specifically about his interactions with Jesus? Fox Nation, that show portrayed the idea that John the Baptist really had no interactions with Jesus until the time when Jesus was baptized, didn't really know who he was. And so the questioner was asking, is that how it went down? Did John the Baptist and Jesus have no contact throughout their lives until the time of the baptism? The other most recent series that's portrayed John the Baptist is The Chosen. And The Chosen portrays the relationship between Jesus and John the Baptist very differently than was portrayed on Fox Nation. If you're a fan of The Chosen, you know that Jesus and John the Baptist there are portrayed as having various interactions, especially at the time of Jesus' ministry. Prior to John the Baptist's arrest, Jesus warns him about that, says, you know, you got to be careful what you're doing, take care of yourself. And then John the Baptist gets arrested. We'll talk about why that was in a moment, because we'll look at some Bible passages and get some biblical input on this. And then finally, John the Baptist is arrested and dies. And the beheading scene in The Chosen is, I'll say I like it far more than I like the beheading scene in Fox Nation. If you can like beheading scenes, that is a question. Can you like scenes where people's heads are chopped off? But the chopping off of John the Baptist's head in The Chosen has a very, I won't give it away in case you haven't seen it. If you've seen it, you know what it is. But it has a very nice touch to it. I would give it almost a 0% chance of being historical, but it's really clever and nice the way they do it. And that might pique your interest to go watch it. All right, so let's take a look, because really what we know about John the Baptist and Jesus come from Scripture. So let's take a look at that and see, what do we know about the relationship of John the Baptist and Jesus? Well, first of all, we know that Mary and Elizabeth, John the Baptist, so Mary the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth the mother of John the Baptist, were relatives, which means that Jesus and John the Baptist were relatives of one another. And when when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant is when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her that she too was going to have a child. And she goes from Galilee, from Nazareth, to Judea, to the hills of Judea. It's about 100 miles or so away. She goes and visits her relative Elizabeth. And as she's approaching Elizabeth, as they're approaching one another, in Luke chapter 1, the baby, John the Baptist, now 6 months in the womb, the baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb, and she gives this song of praise that's recorded in Luke chapter 1. So the point is, we know at that time that the two mothers had contact and the two babies had contact in the womb. Jesus, very, very young in the womb, and John the Baptist, about 6 months old or so in the womb, had contact. And John, in the womb, by the Holy Spirit's power, recognizes Jesus and recognizes Mary and gets all excited in Elizabeth's womb as Elizabeth says, the mother of my Lord should come and see me. So there you go. There's no biblical evidence of contact between Jesus and John the Baptist until the time when he's baptized by John in the Jordan River, and that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's in all those Gospels. So we clearly know that that event happened, and that at that time, Jesus and John met up again. It seems from those Gospels, particularly Matthew 3, it seems that John knew who Jesus was as Jesus approached him in the water. Because of the exchange they have, you can look it up, but it seems that John knew who he was. Whether they had ever met in the intervening 30 whatever years or not, we don't know, but it certainly seems from Matthew 3 that Jesus knew John and John knew Jesus, which is probably where the Chosen then gets its storyline of Jesus and John the Baptist having this relationship. However, if you look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 31, that passage could easily be read to say that John did not know who Jesus was, even as Jesus approached him for the baptism. And so, thus, that's where I'm guessing, where Fox Nation and that rendition of John the Baptist, where John doesn't even know who Jesus is until Jesus approaches him, is baptized, and at that point is revealed to John, hey, this is who you've just baptized. So John, I would say, you know, there's a little bit, I wouldn't call it a contradiction, but a little bit of difference as to what do those verses mean? How do you put those verses together? And you can look them up for yourselves. I think there's ways to harmonize them, but I think that's where the two different interpretations come from. In addition, in Matthew chapter 11, there is this famous scene where John is in prison and he sends his disciples to Jesus to ask Jesus, are you the one we're waiting for? So a couple of different interpretations are possible there. At least these few interpretations are possible. Number one, John is questioning, is Jesus really the Messiah? Because Jesus does not seem to be doing the things that John expects him to do. That's one possible interpretation of that. Another possible interpretation of that is that John decides, you know, I've been trying to get my disciples to go and follow Jesus. They're not doing it. So I will send them to Jesus and have them ask Jesus this question. And the answer that Jesus gives will enable my disciples to get it, and they'll stay with Jesus and not return to me. So those are a couple of possible interpretations of Matthew 11. One that John is questioning, the other that John is not questioning, but his disciples are questioning, and so he sends them to Jesus. In either case, John the Baptist is eventually beheaded by Herod Antipas, and that account is in a couple of different Gospels because it's a significant turning point in the ministry of Jesus, is really why it's mentioned. But he's beheaded by Herod Antipas because he's been preaching against Herod Antipas. Herod had taken the wife of his brother, Herod Philip, as his own. And John the Baptist was preaching against that relationship because that was clearly against God's word. And in The Chosen, you have Jesus warning John the Baptist, hey, be careful what you're saying. And John saying, I got it. I can take care of this. There's no recording in Scripture that exchange ever happened. But it is recorded in Scripture that John the Baptist was preaching against Herod Antipas and his relationship with his brother Herod Philip's wife, who he had, Herod Philip apparently divorced her, and then she was married to Herod Antipas, and John the Baptist was preaching against that. All right, so that's what we know from Scripture. So there you have it. We just don't know how much they interact with one another. It's very possible that John the Baptist and Jesus interacted before Jesus was 30 years old. They were relatives, after all. But highly likely, however, that John the Baptist's parents died early on in his life, that they really did not have the opportunity to raise him to adulthood, unless you consider adulthood when he was bar mitzvahed at, 12, 13 years old. It's highly likely, because they were elderly in the account, Zechariah and Elizabeth were elderly, John's parents. So it's highly likely that they both died. In fact, that's the general assumption of every biblical scholar I know. I don't know that there's anybody that thinks they didn't die, that John, when John was younger, whether John was 6 or 8 or 10 or 15 or 20, whatever it is, that by the time Jesus was 30 years old, Zechariah and Elizabeth were dead. So some possibilities have arisen, and I think that these are, I would say, pretty strong possibilities. Although, I don't think this was portrayed in either Fox Nation or The Chosen accounts of John the Baptist's life, if I remember them correctly. And that is that John the Baptist may have spent a certain amount of time with a group called the Essenes. Now, in Scripture, we're familiar with groups called the Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, and various other sects within Judaism. But the New Testament does not talk about this sect that was clearly around at the time of Jesus called the Essenes. It is believed that the Essenes lived in Qumran, which we'll talk about where that was in a moment, but that's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were written, if you know what the Dead Sea Scrolls are. It's also believed that the Essenes lived in Jerusalem and various migrated to various other places in the diaspora, as had other Jewish groups as well. So the Essenes were a group, a sect within early Judaism at the time, first century Judaism at the time of Jesus, and earlier, because the group that lived in Qumran lived there earlier as well. What do we know? We know quite a bit about this group that lived in Qumran, and we presume that they were Essenes. Qumran, to give you a geographical location of it, is south of Jerusalem, right along the shore of the Dead Sea. It is not very far from where the Jordan River empties out into the Dead Sea. Where was John baptizing? When we find John baptizing, not very far from where the Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea. John was baptizing in the Jordan before it empties into the Dead Sea. The Qumran is just after the Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea. It's along the western shore of the Dead Sea. It's a fascinating place to visit, as is the site of John where he was baptizing as well. But the point is, they're not very far apart. So some scholars, and I think this is an interesting and possibly correct theory, I'll give an 8 out of 10 maybe, is that John was raised in part by the Essenes. We know the Essenes took in orphans. That's documented historically. And so it's possible that John was taken in and raised for a time by the Essenes. There's no evidence that John the Baptist himself became an Essene. You had to become an Essene, you had to live in the community for a certain amount of time and go through various things. And then you could finally join the community if you passed various tests to get into it. There's no evidence that John did that, but people lived among the Essenes even if they were not Essenes, officially part of the community. What do we know about the Essenes? We know they took in orphans. We know that they had a great focus on ritual washing. Many Jews in the first century did, but the Essenes were kind of fanatical about ritual washing. And so what do you have John doing? Well, he's out by the Jordan River ritually washing people, baptizing them. Ritually washing is what baptizing is. So that's interesting. We know that the Essenes were hyper-focused on the coming of the Messianic Age. They were just driven to consider and to think about and write about and study what the Messianic Age was going to be like. Well, what is John doing out in the wilderness? He's preparing the way for the Messiah. Interesting connections between the Essene focus and John the Baptist focus. We know that the Essenes were focused, at Qumran, were very hyper-focused, just strongly focused on the scriptures and on other books that they may or may not have considered canonical, part of the scriptures, but nevertheless were very focused on them. One of those books that they were very focused on was the Book of Enoch. It's very interesting that the Book of Enoch is quoted in the New Testament, specifically in the letter written by Jude, the brother of Jesus. He quotes the Book of Enoch and makes reference to teachings from the Book of Enoch. Interesting connection there between Jesus' brother Jude and the Essenes. I'm building into something here. You'll follow me as you go. The Essenes were very interested in Melchizedek. Melchizedek shows up a couple of places in the Old Testament scriptures. Of course, they wouldn't have called them the Old Testament scriptures. There was no New Testament then. But nevertheless, you get the point. Melchizedek shows up in the Old Testament scriptures, our scriptures today. And the Essenes were very interested in Melchizedek and believed, kind of conflated Melchizedek with the Messiah, conflated Melchizedek with God almost, because Melchizedek has no beginning and no end. And so they had a lot of conversation, writings about Melchizedek. They were very interested in Melchizedek. Well, guess where Melchizedek shows up in the New Testament? The book of Hebrews, a couple different chapters. Melchizedek, the order of Melchizedek. Messiah comes and is a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Interesting connection between the early Christian writer of Hebrews, whoever that was, and the beliefs that show up in Qumran. Qumran focused on, as we said, the coming Messiah. And one of their key passages that they look to for what the Messiah would do is found in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61, as it turns out, is the passage that Jesus opens up and reads in Luke chapter 4 in Nazareth as he's preaching in the synagogue, as he's teaching in the synagogue. He opens up Isaiah 61 and reads the very passage in Nazareth. He reads the very passage that was the focus of the Essenes in Qumran as they thought about what the ministry of the Messiah would be like. However, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus stops reading before the end of the passage. He leaves off. He reads through the passage talking about good news and all of this kind of stuff, proclaiming good news to the poor, the prisoners, all this sort of thing. But he stops before the end of the passage. The last line of the passage talks about the Messiah bringing the vengeance of our God against his enemies. He cuts off the passage before he reads that line and winds up being thrown out of the synagogue, and the people, in fact, try to throw him off the cliff on which the town was built. They try to kill him, in part because he, in a sense, in their minds, misquotes the passage from Isaiah 61. He leaves off the last line. The last line is referring, of course, to Jesus' second coming, not his first coming, so that's why Jesus leaves it off. So, what do you have? You have a scenario where John the Baptist, let me wrap all this up and see if you can follow this, a scenario where John the Baptist very likely was orphaned. John the Baptist very likely had connection with the Essenes. His life, the way he lives his life, kind of reflects a lot of Essene teaching. You have connections with Jesus, the book of Hebrews, the book of Jude, with Essene-type things, with things that were going on at Qumran. Interestingly, the Essenes are never mentioned in the New Testament. Jesus never has any conflict with them. Now, there is theological conflict between the Essenes and the teachings of Jesus. We didn't get into it in this podcast. We only have so much time. But the New Testament doesn't really get into that. We never see Jesus in conflict with the Essenes. And after the time of Jesus, as the early church begins, the Essenes fade away from history. What might have happened is that the Essenes were primed to convert and become Christians, potentially. And they would have been set on that path by one who they may have known, John the Baptizer, whom many of them may have known and may have set them on the path of following Jesus. Interesting connection. Again, as I have on the screen for those on YouTube, it's a theoretical possibility. I'm not saying that this is, there's no New Testament book that says, here's what happened to the Essenes. There's no writings that say, here's what happened to the Essenes. They just disappear from history. But I would submit to you that that is a connection. There's a connection there, highly likely, between the Essenes that lived in Qumran, in Jerusalem. Josephus talks about the Essene community in Jerusalem, potentially where the Last Supper was held, as Jesus went there for the Last Supper, probably in the Essene quarter of Jerusalem. There's all these fascinating connections between the Essenes, John the Baptist, Jesus, Jesus' brothers, Jude, quoting the book of Enoch, the writer to the Hebrews, all these connections. So none of those are really reflected in the Fox Nation account of John the Baptist or in the Chosen account of John the Baptist, but I put them out there. And hopefully I said it in some way that made some sense to you and might cause you to do some study on these things. So there you go. That's what we got for you today. I want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let me know if I made any sense whatsoever or what your thoughts might be on this. I want to remind you as we close from the book of Isaiah that we quoted. Isaiah 61 is what Jesus quoted. In the synagogue of Nazareth, we quote Isaiah 40, that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. And at this time of year, of course, we always have to end this way. Fly, eagles, fly.